St. Paul writes today that in all things he may hold the primacy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. How do you describe pain? Part of life? Punishment for sin? A mate that accompanies most physical maladies? Part of the dying process? And part of giving birth as well. These sweet children who are with us this morning were all of them born in pain, as were you all. Your mother's pain, Saint, our Lord himself in St. John's Gospel calls it travail. We have that gospel after Easter Sunday. But that travail is soon forgotten for joy that a man is born into the world. The pain in the world about us today is the pain of dying. Christendom is in its death throes, and soon any public or social acknowledgement of Christ our King will be dead and gone in our world. But this dying is also, perforce, the birth pangs of something else, and it hath not yet appeared what it shall be. All creation, says St. Paul, is groaning in labor pains until now. Is it so that, he asks this of the Galatians, that Christ may be formed in you? Or is this the beginning of the end, when Christ will return in glory and will be all in all and claim his rightful primacy in all things? But first, we'll have this gospel in November, but first, nation shall rise against nation, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. These are the beginning of labor pains for a new heaven and a new earth. Death and then life, but always with pain. St. Paul uses this startling metaphor for himself. He says, I am in labor until Christ be formed in you. But strictly speaking, yet spiritually, these words must be applied most of all to Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, Queen of Apostles, our Mother. Mary, the new Eve, what do you think it's about? I mean, at this church, in your Catholic life at home, all of our devotions, what is the one central thing on which we are meant to focus? I mean, beyond the statues and the processions, even the scapular and the rosary, and even beyond or within Mary's Immaculate Heart, it is not a thing, but a person, Jesus, and this process that he must be born in us, my King and my God. And he is, St. Paul writes, before all, and by him all things consist, the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. And what pains were his that Christmas of an Easter morning, because the only way that he made peace was through the blood of his cross. Jesus, in the Holy Eucharist, at each Mass, is born anew. It's another Bethlehem. At each Holy Communion, born anew within you, blessing us, as he did last Sunday, from his monstrance throne, Jesus, in the confessional, forgiving sins, in the person of the priest, and yes, here, even here, in the pulpit, through the lips of the preacher, Jesus. Come to us through Mary. That was the Father's plan, and heaven waited humbly for her ascent. She, the new Eve, gave birth at Bethlehem to the new Adam of our race, who was to undo our disgrace. Mary, in virginity, in an ecstasy of joy, gave birth to Jesus. But St. Louis de Montfort explains this. She is the mother of Christ, the whole Christ. A mother forms not just the head of her child, but the whole body in her womb, the mystical body of Christ, of which we are members. And how is he born in us? How are we born to Christ, except through Mary, the mother of Christ and our blessed mother? In the passion of her only son, the Virgin Mary gives birth to the salvation of all mankind. The saints say this. She's the mother of all. And if mother, ours is a sorrowful birth for her. St. Anthony of Padua teaches this, as does St. Albert the Great. She gave birth to us in the blood of the cross, next to which she bravely stood on Good Friday. And hers was, the popes teach, a spiritual death. She died in childbirth, and only a miracle preserved her life, Mary, that she might be co-redemptrix and mother of all, and thus mediatrix of graces. Still today, she tells us at La Salette, she holds back the arm of her son's wrath. Still today, she is sent by him, the king, to lead us back home to heaven, to the throne, because after all, no one's afraid of his mother. Using all of these means, God, through her, fills us with confidence at the throne of grace to fill us with Christ. That's why we have the statues and the scapular and the medals and the prayers and the processions and the hymns, all to bring us to Jesus, to our King. This is their only role, her only role. Last of all, the same truth for the rosary and for her Immaculate Heart. She gave us God's Son at Christmas. She gives us her heart each day. And now, at the end, well, now there will be nothing else, nothing more. Years ago, when St. Gertrude the Great was just getting started, on a Sunday in June of 1980, we were only in the first church we purchased, Sharonville, for a few months. There's no altar yet, and the sanctuary floor had just been roughed in. On that Sunday, we consecrated our church to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and in the ensuing years, how many of our families have consecrated their home to the Sacred Heart, enthroning Jesus as King of Love there in their family. Today, the Feast of Christ the King, which leads us into tomorrow's splendid holy day of all the saints, today I ask you to join with me after the last gospel in renewing the consecration of this, our church, to the Sacred Heart. This is the desperate, you know it, and decisive hour. for all of mankind. We're practicing here good Catholic subsidiarity. Before we consecrate the whole world, we consecrate ourselves and our church locally to our Lord. And then, to complete this consecration, we make one to Mary's sorrowful and Immaculate Heart. What does that mean when we say the consecration to the Immaculate Heart? It means something is set apart as sacred, like a chalice or an altar, and this is done with the holy oil, with the chrism. Just as you were set apart, sacred to God, with the holy oil, the chrism, at your baptism, and again at your confirmation. But to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, many of you, I think, have made the de Montfort consecration, total consecration to Mary, and you have it then in a very thorough way, this consecration, this dedication, the secret to Mary is yours. You've given yourself to her so that she may lead you to God by forming Christ in you. There, that's the sense of it. God asks all of us to acknowledge and to love the heart of his mother in these last days. Not only for our own personal salvation, our sanctification, but also to acknowledge her as our queen in all justice as well as in filial devotion. To enthrone the Sacred Heart in your family, to consecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of Mary, means to welcome them in and to undo the tragedy of the Jews. When we have the regular last gospel, the prologue of St. John, we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Our Lord is asked by Pilate in today's gospel, "Thy own people, the Jews, the high priests, handed thee over to me. They received him not." But the word in the original, the Greek, means not only to acknowledge something as belonging to you, but in the case of a person, to cherish that person and to bring her home with you. That's what St. John did. Those are the words that he heard on Good Friday. "Son," said the dying Savior, "behold thy mother." And from that hour, he writes later, he took her unto his own. That's what we do when we make the consecration today. And all of this in reparation for those who will not. And in this way, does he promise us peace? One day, the labor will cease, but remember the travail, the groanings of thy mother, even until now. Far more than St. Paul of old, till Christ be formed in us, this is her mother work, and we advance it tremendously today in this church by what we do on this feast, setting ourselves apart as sacred unto Mary and her heart, mankind's last refuge. This belonging to Mary means to become like her so that we can be filled with Christ as a sacred vessel would be filled with the precious blood poured out upon and into souls through the cross, making peace. Christ to be born in our world, but a birth entails a mother. A lot try to do their religion without her, and they will never be successful. And her name is Mary. And why all of this? So that in all things her son Jesus may hold the primacy. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.